Hello, once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Jessica Blaustein-Marshall, in for Ray Graff. One of the most exciting nights in cinema is upon us once again. This Sunday, the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will present the 87th Academy Awards. The Oscar field this year includes portrayals of iconic figures Alan Turing, Stephen Hawking, and Martin Luther King Jr. There's a tight race for the two screenplay categories, Best Director, and an even tighter race for special effects. But this year's ceremony is also notable for what many critics are calling serious snubs: the lack of female directors, David Oyelowo getting passed over for a Best Actor nod, the overall lack of diversity among the nominees, and the absence of the Lego Movie in the category for Best Animated Feature. Joining us today to give their take on the nominees and take your calls are Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, professor of film studies at SUNY Albany. Rob and Audrey have co-authored several entertainment biographies and, as regular commentators here on WAMC, are regarded as the foremost authorities and the premier couple of cinematic criticism and analysis.
Thank you, Jessica.
Welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
So what is your take? We want to know what your take on the films nominated this year as well. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. Call us and tell us what you think. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. That's wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. There's lots of ways to get in touch with us today. We have a great show. Let's start out with this. I have my Oscar ballot all laid out here. And Audrey, you told me before the show started, this is a year of serious issue films.
Yes, very much so. And I think It's important to keep separate content from presentation. We all have issues, politics, social issues that hit us in the heart, you know. And you can't say a film is the best because it deals with your issue, your favorite serious issue. You also have to take into account how well made is this film. And I think where it really comes out is in Selma. Mm-hmm. And the controversy of Selma not being as represented at the Oscar, in the Oscar nominations as it might be. Personally, I find Selma to be about one of the most important issues of the 20th and into the 21st century.
Indeed, the civil rights movement and
right.
Martin Luther King and all of that.
But I don't think it's a well-made film. And in fact, I was so critical of the direction of the film that I actually went to Netflix and got a previous film by the same director.
Ava DuVernay.
Which I felt was also poorly directed, and I couldn't even finish the film.
Interesting.
So I'm sorry. Selma should have been much better than it was.
Okay, now I disagree with Audrey.
That's why you guys are the premier film couple.
Oh, you should, as I always say, you should listen to us when we're driving home from a movie, some of the conversations we have. Wouldn't want them recorded. But I like the film,
okay?
But it got two nominations for best film and also best original song. I hear a lot of hubbub about this is racism involved. I don't think so. I don't think that the Academy voters are racist. I don't think that the Academy, because they only gave this film about a very important issue, two nominations. And the reason why I say that is I would ask, what film won the previous year? Not just Best Picture nominee, but Best Picture winner.
Do we all have a very short memory when it comes to that?
Well, unfortunately, we live in a time where if it happened last Tuesday, it's ancient history.
Mm. Okay. It's not on Twitter. It's not trending on Twitter anymore.
Well, not anymore. But what won the previous year? 12 Years a Slave. Now, we all know what that film is about. 12 Years a Slave won nine nominations, and it won three Oscars: Best Picture, Best Screenplay, Best Supporting Actress, Lupita Nyong'o. Okay? it's almost as if that didn't happen. Selma only got two nominations. Well, there's got to be something untoward about that. Now, when it comes to acting, okay, David Oyelowo, whose name I always seem to mispronounce.
I think it's Oyelowo.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get a nomination. Okay, five actors did. Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, Eddie Redmayne. Five fine actors, five fine, highly regarded performances. David Oyelowo didn't make the cut. Okay, is there racism involved? Well, you know, Timothy Spall did not make the cut for Mr. Turner. Jake Gyllenhaal also for Nightcrawler. Bill Murray for St. Vincent. Is there any, is there a groundswell of anger about those actors not making the top five? You know, a number of actors didn't get in who might have gotten in a different year or whatever. Of any of the five who did get in, who I just named, I don't see any problem with any of those. I do not see a weak performance in that batch. So the Oscars are the Oscars. They make no sense whatsoever. I'm going to give you an example of it.
Please do.
Okay. I can spend the next 10 hours giving you examples going through history, but I'll mention one this year. Best Picture nominations. Okay. One of them is not Foxcatcher. Yet of the five Best Director nominees, one of them, Bennett Miller, got for Foxcatcher. Foxcatcher easily could have been number 9 or number 10, because now you can have 10 nominees for Best Picture. It didn't make the cut there, but the director made the cut, the top five. Makes no sense. Totally illogical.
Right. Why not just choose two more films to make to round out the 10?
But this is what the Oscars...
Not enough time in the broadcast?
This is what the Oscars are. I mean, one of the big controversies among animated films, the Lego movie.
Oh, the Lego movie.
You know, I mean, this always happens every year, and it does create a certain amount of media interest. I mean, let's go back a few years. Let's go back.
Before you do, though, I just want to say, if you want to call in and join our conversation, call 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551 to join our conversation about Oscars 2015. All right, Rob, continue.
Okay, here. Let's go back a couple of decades, okay? The Color Purple, we all remember The Color Purple, won 11 nominations. It's quite a number. Acting, whatever. No director nominations. No Steven Spielberg. Now, Steven Spielberg, if the director is the one who is in charge, shouldn't he have been cited? No, but it won nominations for this, that, and the other thing, but no director. This really mirrors the history of the Academy Awards.
Hmm.
You know, Edward G. Robinson, if you're of a certain age, you certainly know him. I'm always talking about him to my students. One of the all-time great actors, as far as I'm concerned. He could play the meanest thugs, a police officer hero. He could play a Portuguese fisherman. He could play a henpecked husband brilliantly. Never even got an Oscar, never even earned an Oscar nomination. You know, I could go on and on with this. This is just, again, it's the Academy Awards.
Well, that's also a good point that you bring up, too, about the acting in the Best Actor category this year. I'll leave Best Actress for a further discussion later in this program. But Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne playing Stephen Hawking, Benedict Cumberbatch playing Alan Turing, and, well, David Oyelowo was left out. But the point I'm trying to make was these guys were portraying somebody who exists. They have a primer, whereas somebody like Michael Keaton was inventing a completely new character for Birdman. I mean, what's your take on that kind of difference in the acting and who might get the award?
I did a film commentary a few weeks ago about how, if you look back just in the past decade, a rather large amount of Oscar nominees and Oscar wins by actors and to a lesser extent actresses playing real people. Why actors are attracted to this, I really couldn't say, but for whatever reason, they do well and they get a rather high percentage of nominations and also wins. I don't really think there's any specific reason why. I think it's just an actor giving a good performance, whether it happens to be a based on fact character or it happens to be a made-up character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the stereotype is that the actor who gets to play somebody who has a physical disability or somebody who has an emotional disability, somebody like Eddie Redmayne playing Stephen Hawking. You know, these are the types of characterizations that will be noted by the Academy. This goes back decades.
I mean, I saw Eddie Redmayne's performance, and it took a great bit of skill, I think, to pull off what he pulled off. I mean, if he had gotten it wrong, it would have been glaringly obvious.
Oh, positively. I mean, I think my sense is that Michael Keaton's going to be a shoo-in to win for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
But if somehow there's a spoiler, it will be Eddie Redmayne.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my feeling.
It's interesting. A lot of critics have gone back and forth on that. A lot of people think Eddie Redmayne's going to win, obviously, because of the depth of his performance, you know, as somebody who was afflicted like Stephen Hawking is. But Michael Keaton, he's won all of the awards. He won the Golden Globe, right? So is that telling about?
I think Eddie Redmayne also. I think
mm-hmm.
both have been cited during this endless
right.
award season.
It could go either way.
I think it could go either way, but I think Michael Keaton, if I'm going to bet money, which I don't, but if I did, Michael
Keaton. We're not
Keaton,
betting people here.
Oh, that's for sure.
Indeed. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. The number to call if you want to be part of our discussion is 1-800-348-2551. You could also email us at WAMC, voxpop at WAMC.org, excuse me, and we will be right back.
Support comes from Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto repair, detailing, painting, glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. And Old Songs Concerts, Voorheesville, announcing Socks in the Frying Pan from County Clare, Ireland, brothers Shane and Fiacra Hayes on accordion, fiddle, and banjo, accompanied by Aidan Coyne on guitar and vocals. This Saturday at 8 p.m., oldsongs.org.
And we're back on the Vox Pop. We're talking Oscars 2015 with film professors and critics, Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. I almost called you Rob Kupferberg. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, familiar voices on this station. Just a reminder, if you want to be part of our discussion, you can call 1-800-348-2551. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you thought of the films, the nominations, the red carpet even. And again, that's 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. If you're not by the phone, you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can also comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. And you can comment below today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. Lots of ways to get in touch, but you can also call 1-800-348-2551. All right. So we spent the first part of the show talking about Selma and some of the possible controversy about it not getting as many Oscar nods as perhaps some people think it should. Let's move on to another one that's controversial, American Sniper.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm going to jump in.
Okay, go for
okay.
it.
Okay. And I'm going to connect American Sniper to the Best Actor category because
okay.
I don't want to leave that yet.
Okay.
Okay.
There's so many things to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to talk about performance versus representation.
Okay.
And we have certain performances that are representation because, like in the case of Stephen Hawking, we all have a very clear mm-hmm. View of what he moves like, how he speaks, you know. And so what Eddie Redmayne had to do was to blend representation of a very familiar person with interpretive acting, performance. Mm-hmm. I think he did that. I think he accomplished that. There are other real people in that category. For instance, Alan Turing, okay, Benedict Cumberbatch. Who knows how Alan Turing looked or acted? It doesn't matter that he really lived, because Benedict Cumberbatch had a loose rein on how to develop that character. Mm-hmm. As a result, I think we have a clear, strong performance. Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle, an American Sniper, even though the name Chris Kyle is in the news every day, mm-hmm. we don't have a lot of footage of Chris Kyle.
Right.
So Bradley Cooper had a free rein in developing his character. I think where Selma really tied the hands of Oyelowo. is Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to look and act like all the newsreel, all the television footage of Martin Luther King.
No room for interpretation.
Right? And that kind of made for a shallow performance. Mm-hmm. In the film.
That's interesting. It's a pitfall almost of having to play a character who's that high profile.
That's that familiar to the public.
Interesting. Yeah. And on the other hand, when you're talking about Michael Keaton and inventing a completely new character, you have so much free rein, but you don't always... Actors don't always know what to do with that, right? With the free rein.
Right. You can go too far and lose your character. I think Michael Keaton did not lose his character. I think Michael Keaton captured all the imagination, the exoticism of that character. And that's why I think he's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think that being practical and looking at a vote, an Academy vote, that Benedict Cumberbatch and Eddie Redmayne will cancel each other out.
Two British geniuses will cancel each other
that's
out.
That's right. They are two geniuses, especially Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is... he's going to get a lot more attention as the years go by.
Yeah, well, I hope he does, you know, in a selfish way, I hope he doesn't get too much more attention, because I do want him to go back and finish doing Sherlock, because he was just a genius on that TV show. Anyway, continue.
Well, now, again, I disagree with Audrey about David Oyelowo. I liked his performance. I had no problem with it. It is a very difficult role to play. If he would have been nominated, I would have said fine. To me, the issue is, well, gee, he wasn't nominated, and what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it just means nothing. It means it's just the way that the cards happen to have fallen, and there's nothing to be seen. There's nothing to really interpret in all fairness.
True. And, you know, hope that performance was enough to sort of keep him in the spotlight and give him future roles.
Well, he's been appearing. If you go on IMDb, you look at his filmography, he's been in some very, very high-profile films in recent years.
Yeah, very recognizable. I couldn't pinpoint it, you know.
Yeah, he's going to have a career. There are actors throughout history who win Oscars and then they just disappear. Case in point, Louise Fletcher, best actress in the mid-1970s, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants an Oscar, sure. What happened to her career?
Indeed.
Disappeared. You know, this could go on and on.
Do you think actors might get pigeonholed? You know, a character that Louise Fletcher played, Nurse Ratched, was a very, very specific type of character. And, you know, you might get typecast. Yeah.
Well, actors are always typecast. This is part of the nature of the beast. One example where you have somebody breaking out is Steve Carell. We know him from, you know, his comedy films, you know, Dinner for Schmucks and 40-Year-Old Virgin, and from his TV series. And here he is playing a very serious, dramatic character in Foxcatcher and winning an Oscar. You know, I think if an actor has enough power and enough largesse, that actor could say, I want something different, and go for it and do it and do it well. But for the most part, you know, you're pigeonholed, you're stuck, and that's just the way it is. You become known for playing a certain type of character, and that's how the powers that be are going to want to keep casting you.
Well, this is where Benedict Cumberbatch really leads the parade, because not only is he Sherlock, but this summer on stage in London, he's going to be Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the Frankenstein monster, and he was also Dr. Frankenstein on stage. He has played homely, plain, dull people. He has played older, younger. He is amazing.
So versatile.
About 10 years ago, Benedict Cumberbatch actually played
Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
He did.
In a British, made-for-British TV movie titled Hawking.
I missed that one.
Yeah, well, so did I.
We all did. I went on Netflix and I went on YouTube. I went all over looking to get a copy of it to screen. I couldn't find it.
That's why no one's talking about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think this mirrors his versatility.
It will come out in the next few months.
Indeed, especially if you know the results fall one way or the other, and that would be interesting. But anyway, if you want to join our conversation, we're talking about the Oscars, 2015 Oscars, which are going to be on Sunday. Join us, 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551. We are on with our resident film experts, Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. They're great, and they know their stuff. So please be part of our conversation, 1-800-348-2551. Can we talk about Best Actress for a minute? Because that's an interesting category to me, too. There wasn't a lot of talent. That's the wrong thing. I shouldn't say that. These are all very talented actresses. But there wasn't a lot of standout performances, except for Julianne Moore. Is that kind of what your interpretation is?
I feel that way. I think Julianne Moore is a shoo-in for the award. But there's one other performance that I think needs noting, and that's Rosamund Pike. Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Gone Girl, without her, would have been a fairly weak film.
Mm-hmm.
And with her, it was a very nuanced film and a very mysterious, atmospheric film. So I give her a lot of credit for that role. And if Julianne Moore didn't win for some reason, I would like to see Rosamund Pike win.
She's great. I wanted to see that movie. I have not seen it yet because I wanted to read the book first, and I never had the chance to read the book.
Well,
so
it's out on DVD.
I'll get to it.
I mean, I would say in general, while there's a fairly long list of actors for best actors who didn't get nominated, there's really not all that much for best actress. This past year, I think, was a weak year. My sense is that too often the actress category is weaker for whatever reason. There are much fewer high quality roles written for women. This goes back to the 1970s, and sometimes it's true today. The one performance that might have gotten but that didn't get, and if this is how political this might be, I don't know, is Jennifer Aniston for Cake,
who was not nominated.
She was not nominated. She was really wanting it, I sense, and she didn't get it. And again, that's just the way it goes.
That's the Oscars.
That's
all right, we're gonna take a call now. We have Matt in Saratoga. Matt, you're on. Hey, Matt.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to ask. I'm a father of two small boys. So I see a lot of animated movies, and I know I don't want to jump the gun. I know you haven't really talked about it yet, but I was really, really impressed with the Lego Movie, and I'm really curious if there's any. What the word is as to why that movie wasn't nominated.
You're not alone in that, Matt. That is a question that I have as well, and that many, many people I know have. Rob, what do you think?
That, again, the five nominees for Best Animated Feature: Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and Tales of the Princess Kaguya. You know, the Lego Movie might have come in sixth place in the voting. I don't know. Again, this is just another case of a film that you would expect to get a nomination, and it didn't. And all you can do is just shrug your shoulders.
Do you think it was because there was a little bit of live action in it? Does that disqualify it?
Not really.
No.
Not really. I mean, again, I could go through, if I have the time, I can go through performances that might have gotten, that should have gotten, that didn't get, for a range of reasons, whether it be jealousy, the individual popularity of the performer or the film, on and on and on. Lego Movie didn't get a nomination. I don't think that's going to have any impact on how much film, how much money this makes at the box office, or how many, if kids enjoy the film. I think it's just one of those things.
Well, I heard a rumor that there's going to be a Lego Movie too. So
I'm sure there will.
Perhaps that one will get its day. Thank you so much, Matt.
As far as the history of a mix of live action and animation goes right back to the beginnings of the 20th century. In fact, Walt Disney's earliest films are the Alice films, mm-hmm. and they blend live action with animation. It's just a style of animation.
You mm-hmm. also could go back to 1945. There's a musical, MGM musical, Anchors Away, with Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra.
Anchors Away.
That's it. And in this film, you've got a really fantastic sequence where you have Gene Kelly, real person, dancing with Tom and Jerry, the animated characters. Really, really quite nicely done. So again, this goes way back.
Indeed.
There was that film in the late 80s with Bob Hoskins. I'm forgetting the title of it.
Oh, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
You got it. Yeah,
sure.
Another one that
the
really
Toons.
Right, that does a great job of mixing the two. So this is really nothing new. And I don't think that this would have any negative impact on nominations.
All right, we're going to take another call. We're going to go to Richard in Albany. Richard, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. A couple of comments about people who are not on screen but who are very important to the production of a movie.
Indeed.
And a person who grew up in Troy was nominated this year for the Oscar for sound mixing for the movie Whiplash.
Oh, that's very exciting. What is the name?
His name is Thomas Curley. And he won the award when London did their awards last week or the week before for the British CBN Movie Awards. He got the award for that.
Continue.
Yeah, no. And a local fashion designer named Daniel Moses has made the dress that Thomas Curley's escort will wear at the event on Sunday night. So we got some local action going on.
Well, that's fantastic. I'll look out for that.
Well, not everybody who has talent and drive, et cetera, they don't only live in New York or L.A.
Yeah.
Very important point.
Well, there's Joseph Alesi, who is a longtime friend of ours, who grew up in Amsterdam, New York, where we live, and I grew up. And if you go to IMDb for costume design, look at Joseph Alesi, Aulisi, a very impressive career.
He's now working with Ang Lee. I'll screen clips from the original Shaft in my New American Cinema course, and there's Joe Alesi. This is from 1970-71. There he did the costumes for that. Yeah, not everybody rushes out to Hollywood, and not everybody rushes out to New York. And I think that's great.
Well, lately the Hudson Valley and upstate New York have been hotbeds of film activity. I mean, we have The Place Beyond the Pines. There's a lot of wonderful productions that take place locally in addition to that. It's a very rich area.
Yeah, I mean, Place Beyond the Pines is certainly a wonderful example, but we have regional filmmakers here who are really doing well.
Indeed.
And involving young people. I mean, my filmmaking partner, John McCarty, and I have made a number of films. I produce, he directs, and writes.
And students are brought in to work crew.
Right, and they work with professionals. And this is not an isolated instance. We have a lot of filmmaking going on in our area, which may not reach the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, but is very creative and worthwhile.
Makes us proud. Well, thank you so much, Richard, for bringing that to our attention.
Okay,
we appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the call.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. We have a very active film community up here. It's very wonderful to know that. I mean, I used to live in New York where, you know, everyone says this is where it happens, and you'd ask people in New York, people in New York would say, hey, I'm from Albany, and they'd say, what, is that by the Canadian border? Where is that? You
know? Well, this is the old story about stereotyping. This is a subject that fascinates me. I deal with in a number of my classes. And no, if you live above Westchester, that doesn't mean that you're a hick. You know,
that's an entirely different topic.
Oh, yes. Don't get me started.
All right. So the number to call is 1-800-348-2551 if you want to be part of our discussion. Let's go to Rena in New Paltz. Rena, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
Boy, you are great film talkers, and I have a question for you. Right now, there's a big controversy about free speech throughout the world as the Oscars are going to be televised around the world. I want to know, is there any particular film that you think that is controversial in this aspect, and do you foresee anyone who is winning and on stage going to discuss this in a way that's not Oscar-like?
Oh, boy. Well, years ago, this would happen more often than it happens today. Particularly in the 70s, somebody would win and they would get a little political. God, I couldn't begin to give examples of this. I think today, for the most part, people tone this down. Now, I think it'll be very interesting if American Sniper wins any awards. I have no idea if it will. It'll be very interesting to see what people will have. If it somehow won for Best Picture, I would be very curious to see what Clint Eastwood would have to say. Would he say anything beyond thank you and thanking, you know, thanking the screenwriter and thanking the actors? This would be very interesting. I don't think that Selma will win for Best Picture, but if it wins for Best Song, it would be interesting to see what the writers have to say. In certain cases, I would be looking for this sort of thing, but for the most part, in recent times, they keep it down, they smile, they thank who they need to thank, and they push the controversy aside.
Indeed. You know. A lot of people
thanks, but not enough content.
Indeed. Well, it's interesting in that American Sniper and Selma are both very relevant to current events.
Oh, yes.
With Ferguson, in Ferguson and also with the trial that's going on with Chris Kyle, they're very salient. The issues that the films tackle are very salient for today. So it should be interesting indeed. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rena, for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a short break, but the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're here with Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, and we're talking Oscars 2015, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Support comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy. InterimHealthcare.com. Edward Garbasik, certified financial planner serving all of Western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. Ed@HavikinWealthStrategies.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting The Complete History of America, Abridged, weekends through March 1st at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park. HomemadeTheater.org.
And we're back with a Vox Pop all about Oscars 2015 with Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. Very familiar voices on this station. They are the power couple of film criticism here at WAMC. And we're talking about Best Picture, Best Actor. We want you to be part of the conversation. Call 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. You can tweet us at @WAMCVoxPop. You can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMCRadio. And you can comment on the bottom of the show page on our website, on our VoxPop section of our website. So please join us for this great conversation about the Oscars. We're going to go right back to the phones. We're going to go to John in Hopewell. John, you're on.
Yes, hello. I have a question and maybe a comment. What is that when you guys are talking, could you give like more concrete examples? Like I know you were talking about some films are poorly directed, or this actor's this or this actor's that. Could you give some like concrete examples of what you're talking about? Because like as a layperson watching a movie, I say to myself, well, who do I see on the screen? If that's Al Pacino, to me, Al Pacino is always Al Pacino, no matter what I'm seeing him do. He's always Al Pacino. But yet there's still people say, like, he's a good actor. Michael Keaton, I've been a Michael Keaton fan for years because he gets lost in the character. I don't see Michael Keaton, a real Michael Keaton stand-up, that kind of thing. So I don't know if that's what you guys are looking at. So could you talk more about specifically what you're looking at in terms of what you want from an actor and what do you want from a director?
Sure. Here's an example. I had mentioned before that I wasn't really keen on Selma, not because of its content, because its content is very important, but because of the way the film was made. There are many scenes which were shot in dim light indoors. The pace was very slow and uneven, and the dialogue between Martin Luther King and his wife, Coretta King, was rather dull, just showing us that here's a couple who are having some marital problems. It didn't really relate to the big picture for me, and watching it in half light was not an exciting way for me to spend at least half an hour of that picture. That's one example.
It's very subjective, though,
well,
isn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Rob is nodding his
head. That's what I was going to say. You watch a film, and you respond in a personal way. It's very subjective. You get into the performance. You get into the directing. You know, check out the camera movement. Check out the lighting. What's going on here? One person, if you go on, say, Metacritic, and, you know, some critics will say 100% great film, and then the next one will say 30% I was disappointed. It's all very, very subjective. It's how the individual responds to what he or she is seeing on screen. And you don't have to be a quote-unquote professional critic to have an opinion. You know, we each go to the movies, we each have feelings. People are always saying to me, what did you think of this film? And I may like it, and they'll say, gee, well, you know, I didn't particularly care for it, but I see your point, so now I like it. And my response is, no, your response is as valid as mine.
Well, you know,
I just wanted to know what the critics were looking at, what are they looking at that the layperson is not looking at.
They're looking at every aspect of a film. They're looking at the writing. They're looking at the lighting, the staging, the pace, the script content and the performances.
And the way
credibility.
The way I understand it, critics watch movies several times. It's not just one and done.
Well, sometimes.
Not very often.
No,
it depends. We know.
Well, I'd like to think that.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, let's go to Birdman, mm-hmm. Where you have a critic as a character. This is
very meta.
This to me was the weakness of Birdman, one of two weaknesses.
This is the New York Times film critic character.
Yeah, there's a character, a woman, Lindsay Duncan plays the role, a New York Times film critic, theater critic. Mm-hmm. And she says to Michael Keaton's character, she says, I just hate you, and I'm not going to see your play, and I'm just going to write up the worst review of your play. I'm not even going to bother to see it. I just hate you. Excuse me? The New York Times does not have theater critics who would do such a stupid thing.
No.
So I think anyone would look at that moment in Birdman and say, that's a weak point.
Indeed.
What about the point of actors? I mean, actors like not getting lost in the character. To me, if I'm watching an actor on the screen and I see Clint Eastwood to me, no matter what he does, is always Clint Eastwood. Yeah.
Well, there are two types of film actors. One is the Clint Eastwood type, who is usually Clint Eastwood, because people go to the theater and they want to see Clint Eastwood. They want to see a presence, not a character.
A familiar feeling.
A personality. Yeah. They're fans of Clint Eastwood, and they're very content to see Clint Eastwood playing different parts and not moving away from Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. There are other types of characters like the Julianne Moore character in Still Alice, where she isn't Julianne Moore anymore. She's Alice Howland, and we need that for credibility in the script. There are different kinds of movies,
yeah,
lightweight movies that are entertainment and movies that are deep, and we have to kind of jump into the water and really find the credibility.
Errol Flynn is always Errol Flynn. Bogart is always Bogart.
Or
Bogey. but an actor like the aforementioned Edward G. Robinson, I know when I'm watching a Robinson film, I know that's Edward G. Robinson, but he becomes so immersed in the character.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes that character that I am able to transcend the concept that, oh, that's Edward G. Robinson up there. No, that's that fisherman. That's that thug. That's that henpecked husband.
But
and
I
he
will,
is so
I...
good at doing this sort of
well,
thing.
Well, thank you so much, John, for your call. We got to move on because we got about 10 minutes left. But thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take another call. This is actually a good segue. We're going to go to Rick in Albany. Rick wants to talk about why Andy Serkis can't get a nomination. Rick?
Hi, how's it going?
You're a very familiar voice, Rick.
I love the show so far. Fantastic. And I just wanted to ask your thoughts on Andy Serkis, because I'm continually frustrated by seeing how great of a job he's doing in all the Apes movies and all the performance capture work he does. And in the most recent one, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, he's positively Shakespearean in how he inhabits the character and in the sort of the character arc that he brings to the screen there. And so much of him is in these Apes characters. I'm curious why he just can't seem to get an Oscar nomination.
Well, okay. My sense is that the point may come at a certain time in the future where he may be given a special Academy Award for career. This does happen. This year, Harry Belafonte was given, I think it was the Gene Hirschholt Award, and Maureen O'Hara was given a special Oscar. This does happen. Why he has never been nominated, I really cannot answer that specifically. But sometimes people who have genuine talent, for some reason, they fall between the cracks.
It's just something so new. Motion capture is it's developing every day at an exponential pace that maybe
that's very true.
Old Academy voters haven't quite.
Well, I'll make a comparison to baseball, which I honestly do, and I love baseball, needless to say. Well, DH has been around, designated hitter has been around for 40 years, yet it's difficult for a designated hitter like Edgar Martinez to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's only fairly recently where you're having closers, relief pitchers, specialists getting in. It takes a while for something that's quote-unquote new to be accepted to the point where they are given the top accolade. And that, I think, is the case with Andy Serkis.
Indeed. All right. Thanks, Rick. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take more calls because we got more calls. But if you want to call in, 1-800-348-2551. So actually, before we take the call, I'm just going to take a quick email. The TV movie, this is from Jill, the TV movie Hawking aired on PBS when The Theory of Everything came out. It covered only a very few years of his university life. The acting was good. The movie was just okay.
Ah,
okay. Well, I didn't know that. I'm glad that you texted.
But I wish they would bring it out on DVD or Blu-ray or stream it, on Netflix.
It's interesting. It would seem like in order to drum up support for Benedict Cumberbatch as an actor, you'd want to trot that out, but you can't trot it out because
No, I don't think you'd want to trot it out.
But also if you did right now, because you have these performances, and this would be the perfect time to put it out because there would be interest when maybe 6 months ago or 6 months from now, there wouldn't be as much interest.
But wouldn't it be kind of offensive to Eddie Redmayne to bring out that TV movie
right
now? Let's wait till after the awards, maybe, and then they'll bring it out.
Oh, Hollywood's kind of cutthroat. I don't know. Maybe they would do that. We got one more email here. This is from Mark. Why does there seem to be such a prejudice against science fiction or fantasy adventure films? With the exception of Lord of the Rings films in the early 2000s, it always seems like science fiction movies are never taken seriously by the Oscar community. Many sci-fi adventures are hugely popular, and the actors within them work very hard. Why are they so often ignored?
That's a very good question. A lot of times they do get cited for special effects. I'm not a great sci-fi fan personally, but there are certain films that are ignored that maybe shouldn't be ignored. And the reason why we have up to 10 nominees now, until fairly recently you can only have 5 Best Picture nominees, that was moved up because a few years ago, The Dark Knight, which I think is an extraordinary film, didn't get a Best Picture nominee. Usually it's the artier films, it's the more issue-oriented films that will make the top 5. So, as I recall, the reason why they upped it to 10 was to allow more sci-fi, more action-adventure, more special effects-oriented films, because, like The Dark Knight. But still, that doesn't seem to have worked out. You're having quite a few films that are in this category that still are being ignored. Perfect case in point is, I'm blanking out on the Matthew McConaughey film.
Interstellar.
Thank you, Interstellar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that film. If it got a Best Picture nomination, I would not have any problem with that. It didn't. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, there seems to be a prejudice. I don't know why.
Another genre that's often overlooked is comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Best Picture list, we have The Grand Budapest Hotel, which is definitely comedy, but it's stylized.
Mm-hmm.
It's
extremely
really an
stylized.
Example of the art of cinema. Wes Anderson is an artist. He's fantastic.
I know there was some question a couple years ago when Renee Zellweger was up for Bridget Jones's Diary about how rare it was that a comedic actress was in line for a Best Actress nod.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For the most part, that's true. But if you look at the classic comic actors or comedians, the Marx Brothers, W.C. Fields, Mae West, on and on and on, nothing.
Mm.
You know, no nominations, nothing. And maybe Cary Grant, who I think is one of the all-time great comedy actors, I mean, also a fantastic dramatic actor, just got a couple of nominations and nothing. This goes on and on. You know, Woody Allen may be the exception here, because a lot of his performers have won nominations and awards. But for the most part, for whatever reason, well, it's comedy, it's funny, it's not serious. But comic actors can be as hardworking and as talented, and they can give as much to their performances as the dramatic actor.
I wonder what would happen if, you know, maybe next year all of a sudden they took three sci-fi movies, or they took a comedic actors or a comedy, or so. I wonder how that would shake things up in terms of how people are talking about the Oscars and the dialogue around it.
If such a film, and again, I'm not talking about how much money it makes at the box office, if a film has the quality of A Dark Knight, it should be nominated. And if it's in the right year, in the certain year, it should win. What's the problem? I mean, you go back to Avatar. There are exceptions.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones real quickly. We are going to go to Elizabeth in Hunter. Elizabeth, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment about local filmmaking. That I don't believe we've had one at the Oscars yet, but we do have films that go to very prestigious film festivals that are made in the area, and I'm talking about the Capital District down, you know, into the Hudson Valley. Case in point, The Better Angels and One Armed Man, and next year there's a new movie called What Happened to Miss Simone, about Nina Simone, which is a documentary with some fictional narrative in it. So there is a lot of really, really good developing filmmakers in the area. And I'd like to mention two things. There's an organization called Upstate Women in Film, which welcomes women who are interested in being in the profession or who are already professional women, filmmakers, writers, actors, producers, camera women. And also on the 25th, there's going to be something called the Capital Cinema Cultural Exchange right there in Albany. So there's an awful lot going on for film buffs.
Indeed, it sounds like that. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for sharing. We're running out of time. We are
okay.
So glad that you called. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have a couple minutes left. So I wanted to ask you, Rob and Audrey, what are your official predictions? Give us the scoop.
Okay, well, I'm going with Boyhood for Best Picture. Richard Linklater did something that is so unusual and so effective. I mean, he could try it, and maybe it would have just fallen apart, but he tried it. He shot a film over a good number of years with the same cast. It's a continuing story, and it's a beautiful portrait of life, real life, artistically presented. So I would go with that for Best Picture, and with Linklater for Best Director.
All right, okay. Rob.
I would say either Boyhood or Birdman.
Okay.
Either one, and same thing for Director, either Alejandro González Iñárritu or Richard Linklater for Director. I think that it'll be in one or the other for picture or director. Also, before I continue, I also want to make a point. On Saturday, if you're around, Audrey and I will be doing an Oscar show at the Niskayuna Library in Schenectady. This Saturday between 2 and 4 p.m., we'll be showing clips. We'll be talking about the nominees. We'll be giving a bit of history. So anybody's invited. Just had to throw that in.
You're going to have a red carpet?
Actually, last year they did. They actually did.
That's exciting.
It's a very festive atmosphere. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. How fun. And just 30 seconds, can you summarize the actor, actress?
Okay. Best actor, Michael Keaton, maybe Eddie Redmayne as the spoiler. Best actress, Julianne Moore, Runaway. Supporting actor, J.K. Simmons, Runaway. Supporting actress, Patricia Arquette.
All right. Real quick, Audrey.
Okay. I'll go with all of those, except I think that Michael Keaton will be very closely running with Bradley Cooper for Best Actor.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those we left on the line. So sorry about that. The 87th Annual Academy Awards will be broadcast on Sunday at 7 p.m. in ABC. We'll see if those predictions come true. Thank you to our guests, Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. Rob's commentaries can be heard on Mondays on Midday Magazine and Audrey on Northeast Report on the last Friday of each month. Support for WAMC comes from Mohonk Preserve. New Paltz presenting the Rock the Ridge 50-Mile Challenge for runners, walkers, hikers on May 2nd. Sponsored by I Love New York and Ulster County Alive. MohonkPreserve.org for registration. The Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst, family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care, CECAA.org, and the Empire State Plaza Performing Arts Center presenting the 2015 dance series featuring Tango Buenos Aires, as well as the Ellen Sinopoli, Bill T. Jones, Arnie Zane, and Ragamella Dance Companies at the Egg in Albany, theegg.org. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer, Zach Malloy, Mary Vetter took your calls, and I'm Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Stay tuned for a news update.